Board Game Kiki, Episode 5. Today, we are talking about all things art in board games. Hello, and thank you for downloading Men on Board. My name is Aaron.
This is Josh.
Matt.
And I'm Other Matt.
Josh, I feel like I haven't talked to you on the podcast in forever.
I know. Life's been busy and crazy and just all over the place. So it's cool. I'm back. I'm ready to go. I'm really pumped for our art topic. I'm really glad that we're doing our Kiki first because I got lots of energy and apparently just feel really spunky. So if I talk quicker than normal, I apologize if you haven't been tuning in. Fast Talker's back, so buckle in.
You are bringing a fun energy tonight, so great. I appreciate it.
I actually forgot what you looked like because I only see you on the podcast.
Well, that's good because we're talking about art, so I'll send you a picture next time.
So whose idea was this topic? Was this a Josh or was this a Matt?
Josh.
Yeah? Yeah, it was mine.
I'm pretty sure it was.
So full of ideas.
It was actually, but I don't remember. So there was a reason that it prompted me to do this. And I don't remember what the reason was. And I believe it was because I had just played a game with terrible artwork, but that was a great game, or vice versa. I know exactly what prompted me to do this topic. So I've been playing a lot of Res Arcana, which is a new game by Thomas Lehman, which I love. And a lot of the forums have been swamped with people complaining about the artwork, which I think is actually great artwork, but they're saying it's basically just too generic. It's too fantasy. It's too overdone. The designer came on the forum and was like, listen, it's not just fantasy. It's like a blend of medieval and alchemy and some sort of like epic legendary stuff. And there's a lot more going on if you actually pay attention. But I think people get really inundated and swamped by artwork. And so I was interested to read just how many comments were ignoring the gameplay completely just to talk about the artwork, which I actually think is great. It's nothing like outstanding, but I really like the art. But the gameplay is fantastic, and I think people were missing it just because they're like, oh, it's just another fantasy game without knowing anything else about the game. So I wanted to talk about that.
I think you just made that completely up, because looking in our chat, it was that game Quantified with the horrible artwork that got us talking about art and saying, let's do a Kiki about art.
So there was that too. This was bubbling around in my head before that. Come on, because I was quite looking at Board Game Geek when that post came through.
So many things to respond to with that, because cool. Number one, I love the way that the box art and Quantified looks, but we've already had our individual thoughts on all that, plus all the other. So Quantified is a game that's not coming out for anytime soon, but it looks really awesome because it has a really cool kind of social theme to it, and I'm really, really excited to play it whenever it comes out in like a year or something. But we all pass around the links on that, and there's a lot of discussion on the art, and we're being pretty harsh on the work in progress prototype components, but the box art I love. Anyway, going back to Res Arcana, I'm so surprised people don't like that art, because I thought it's fine. Like, I mean, it's not the best art I've ever seen. It's definitely not the worst art, though. It's not art I would go online to complain about.
But it sounded like people were saying they had just seen it before. They were done with it. As if art can be something that is just like, well, I've seen something medieval fantasy alchemy-based before, therefore I have no interest in it, or it doesn't stand out enough, or doesn't grab them. So I'm wondering, what are people, you know, numb to artwork now, and it needs to be something fresh and different to catch people's attention? Like, is generic fantasy just not good enough anymore? Or what is that next level that the game has to get people's attention, or to at least get them to pay attention to the game other than the artwork?
So Matt always structures the Kikis for us and kind of like gives us like high milestones to hit in the conversations. And for his outline for this one, he started off with like the perfect place of what about art do you look for in a board game, and what draws you in terms of the art?
Yeah, I think even more so than like that, does it even matter to you? Like, not even just what grabs you, but does it matter at all? And I think for me, it's a soft yes. Like, I bad art can definitely really turn me off a game, at least initially. I don't think bad art has ever turned me off playing a game, but it definitely will hamper me off a shelf. And off the top of my head, I think of, and in the fantasy lane, I think of Ethnos. Like, if I saw Ethnos on the shelf, like, it's so boring looking to me. It's got that classic 80s high fantasy artwork that I have no interest in. Like, it feels so dated and old. It's well done, but it feels dated to me. And I think if I saw it on the shelf, I would think, man, that game's probably old. It probably doesn't, like, it's probably a bit dry playing. I love Ethnos. I think it's great. But art matters to that small extent for me. But I think on the other end, I don't know if I've ever bought something just because it has beautiful art. Like, it's more so bad art could turn me away, but I don't think I've gone the other way.
I would love to say that art doesn't matter to me, but it does matter to me a little bit. Like, I definitely look at a game and make that instant, you know, judge a book by its cover impression based on the artwork. And it's not, I want to make a key distinction to you. We're not talking about graphic design. I'm not talking about functionality here. I'm just talking about the artistic impression that a game holds, which could be anything from the color palette that presents itself on the cover, the components themselves, the map, but not specifically how functional it is, just the aesthetic quality to it. I will play a game that has art that I don't like, but it makes me want to own it less for some reason. I think maybe I don't collect art, but like board game art to me is like an artistic expression that I like having a wide variety of things that are appealing to me.
I think I'm different from you both because, well, I'm also more of an impulse buyer than anyone in this group. And I don't buy a lot of games, but if I'm going to buy a game, it has to grab my attention. Like, if there's a game in the art and I don't, like, notice the artwork, I'm never going to look at it. It might be I could eventually play it because someone else buys it, and it could be the greatest game I've ever played before, but me in the store or me online, I'm not going to even consider it because the art doesn't grab my attention. For me, like, art is, like, the first thing that's going to go off that I'm going to think of. You know, like, that's my first impulse in looking at a game, is to say, what's on the box? How does it look? Does this grab my attention? If it doesn't, then it's I don't even acknowledge it, usually.
I can remember going into the store with you the day that you bought the massive anniversary ticket.
The 10th anniversary of Ticket to Ride is in an amazingly beautiful box, and then I grabbed it and picked it up because it's also in a huge box, looked at the back. All of the trains are specifically designed, so there's like a nice little circus train with a giraffe sticking out, and then there's a nice little like subway car. I bought it that day. $100 dropped on it. I have played that version of that game maybe a handful of times, but I'm still really happy that I have that box because it's such a beautifully designed box. The map is, even though it's just the generic USA map, they spruced it up so it's all more beautiful and there's little design things all around the country. But the real thing was the trains. The trains being specifically designed.
I want to play that now.
See, and I think there is something to say about a game looking good on a shelf. I know that seems kind of weird, but I like when I see something that looks nice, it the game box is decoration. Like, it does fill the room. It does provide that kind of decor benefit if you're playing like a video game or something like that.
Listen, so Chris and I just remodeled our house, and like one of my favorite things to think about was the way our board game room was going to look, and like I love the way it looks, and I have open shelving that some games are displayed on in a way that is visually appealing to me, and there are some games that just don't make that cut, and they're just, even if they're my favorite games, they're not going on those shelves.
So I think for me, art probably matters the least out of the four of us. For me, art is just an addition. Like, a game could have the worst art in the world, I can still love that game. If a good game has great art, it's just like a great perk that also goes with the game. And it'll do a lot for theme, for drawing me in and everything. But even if a game does have bad art, it doesn't mean, it's not something that would stop me from ever playing or loving a game. But it is something that can just raise the game's value in my mind. As we're getting into this, Matt, when you talked about Ticket to Ride, you talked about the trains and the designs of the train and including that in your definition of art. I don't know if I, because whenever I think about game art, I usually think specifically about illustrations on cards, illustrations on the board, purely just two-dimensional. I never really include the sculpts as being part of the artwork. To me, that's always the components, but I mean, you have a point. Like, someone, an artist did design that.
I think it's, you know, it is a component, but I think you can blur the lines of it still being art. Someone had to design that train. I mean, someone came with that idea to have that little giraffe poking its head out, and it's the most adorable thing in all of Ticket to Ride is that little circus car with the giraffe coming out of the top of it. And the same thing even with, like, the cards in that game. You know, in the base game, they're kind of boring, but then in other games, they add different colors, different backgrounds. They're snowy in the, like, Scandinavian version, so it's, like, almost like a Christmassy type theme. And the maps are the same way, you know, they're always designed to look and have different things in them to mimic what they're actually maps of. So they're all components, but it's still like those are all appealing things to me, which makes me, that's why I like to play Ticket to Ride so much. In addition to like just the gameplay of it, I like to look at the boards, I like the cards, and the trains and everything like that. It adds a lot, art adds a lot for a game to me, more than like sometimes the gameplay does itself.
I'll agree with you, Aaron. Art doesn't trump gameplay for me. I will always favor a game, and I will play a game that doesn't have great art. But this is one of those times when I wish we had Jameson here, because I know he would have a comment on the sculpts, because I do think the sculpts make a difference, but because I don't paint my miniatures, and I really don't, like, I'm not a miniature lover, so I don't stare at my miniatures that often, like, to examine them. They're like a board presence, pretty much is all I see them as. So I don't give a ton of thought to them, but I recognize that some look better than others. Some people have really strong thoughts on the chibi-style artwork of the Arcadia Quest miniatures. Some people think the Blood Rage miniatures are, like, too tentacle-aggressive, or the others miniatures are, like, super tentacle Cthulhu-aggressive. So there's some strong thoughts on what directions those miniature sculpts can take, too, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe on the topic of miniatures, there's two different things to look at. Like, miniatures as a component kind of deals with the quality of what they're made out of, potentially the detail of the sculpt, while miniature as art is more the style of the sculpt. And I think it's okay to include... I think I would include miniatures in a discussion about art only to discuss the style of the miniature. Like, what the miniature is made out of has nothing to do with its art quality.
Do you think, Aaron... So, and we kind of have both backed off this a little bit, but we both were, for a period of time, big Cool Mean or Not Kickstarter backers. Cool Mean or Not releases a ton of art with their Kickstarters that never sees the light of day. It's like Kickstarter exclusive artwork that they put a whole like backstory behind their characters, and like they have little badge means. I would love that art somewhere in the game, but it often doesn't come. It's like just to draw me in to the Kickstarter. So there's more to this. Like, that art has visual sales appeal, and I think game companies certainly know that and take advantage of it. I mean, you know, game companies have huge art director departments, as I can imagine. So there's definitely a lot of choices that go into the style, the art, the color palette, and just how much art makes it into a game.
So I actually bought the art book for the others.
Really?
Because I enjoyed the game so much, I wanted to get the book just so I could have like the character profiles and everything. So I actually bought that after the Kickstarter, because when I was going through and selecting all my add-ons for the Kickstarter, I didn't get that because I was like, I don't need an art book. And then I added it to like a Cool Stuff Ink card at one point because I was like, I would like to have that.
Yeah. I didn't get the Rising Sun one, but I do really like the Rising Sun art. And like the map of that board is one of my favorite maps in all of board gaming. I don't even play the game that much, but I really, every time I open the map up, just go, this is nice.
When we were talking about doing art for this episode, the first, I was like trying to think what game is like the first thing. And Rising Sun was actually the first game that popped in my head of really good art on the box, on the board, especially with those heavy plaster tiles that you have, you know, and that's more a component in what it's made of, but even the way that, you know, it all works out really well together. And the miniatures in that game are also, I think, really cool too, because they're all specific to each clan, then the monsters are all specific as monsters. And I like that's, I think, in for art in games that will take me out is if it's all very generic.
Yeah, Other Matt, I think you're right in that, or I agree with you in terms of art to me is what pulls me in. Like, really good art will pull me in and help with the immersion, help with the theme, because theme is one of my favorite things about games. I like going on an adventure. I like that kind of escapism. And having good art in a game is such a bonus for that, because good art can really help to pull you in.
While we're talking about good art, I would like to make one point, and I bring up bad art, because the thing that comes to my head is that the Bloodborne game,
Oh my god.
With that ironically awesome art.
Right, that has such horrible art that it has become enjoyable to us and is no, like, its bad art has become so good that we love it. And maybe there's only place for one bad art game in our mind, like no other game. Like, you can't love a whole bunch of games because they have bad art, but you can love that one game that has the worst art that you've ever seen because now it's like kitsch.
Well, here's a question for the group. What do you value more between art and components? Like, would you rather have a game that had flimsy cardstock and flimsy punch-outs, but like really, really great art? Or would you rather have a game that had premium, chunky, nice quality components that were all kind of generic and the sculpts aren't that original?
Chunky components.
Probably art.
God, that is like one of the hardest questions. I'm so conflicted on it.
Welcome to the Sophie's Choice of this episode.
Because I think it's like, if you're playing with like cheap material, it can really just be like, this is really annoying to deal with tactile-wise.
Let's go standard material. Like, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, so just like a very standard...
Like, I'm thinking Castles of Burgundy or Terraforming Mars.
Okay, so yeah, standard cards, cardboard. Like with no linen finish, right. Just like the, like, standard.
I would take the art over like the supreme cards and things like that. Now, when you get into things where it's like Splendor, where you have that, the chunkiness, the poker chips, the clay tiles of Rising Sun, that stuff is a little bit different in my mind, because I don't know, there's something that's really nice about having a heavy or like really well manufactured thing where, like, in, I mean, with Splendor, that game is, there's no design. It's literally just, here's a ruby. There's nothing really exceptional about the actual chip itself, but having the weight of the chip, I love playing Splendor, even if it's just to be like, I have all these chips.
That does help that game. I'm thinking of Reef specifically, because Reef has really nice components, but I hate that there's like no artwork or reason behind it. Like, I don't feel like I'm on a coral reef. I just feel like I'm literally playing with generic Legos. So, like, those building blocks that used to get, like the Mega Blocks that I never liked as a kid because I didn't think they were as good as Legos. That's how I feel when I'm playing Reef. Like, really nice components, solid, well-made. Don't bring me into the game at all.
And see, when you say that, that's when... kind of brings me down to my decision that I'm with Matt. I'm more about the components.
Oh, I could see that.
Because...
like, that makes perfect sense.
I like the feel of them, and I like having just nice, well-made components with just passable art. It's not that I don't appreciate really nice art, and obviously the best combination would be great components with great art.
Of course.
But for me, with that immersion, better components will do more for me than better art.
So here's another thing that made me think of this game. A big game in the hype right now that none of us have talked about is Wingspan. Beautiful artwork, looks great. I have zero interest in it. I don't care how great that, like, I've seen the gameplay enough and I've read enough about it that I go, this looks just okay. I don't need to own this game, even though the art's great. Chris and I love bird watching. Like, I actually even like that theme for a game. I don't need to own that game just because of the artwork. Like, it's, I really appreciate that all the art went into it. A lot of people have responded really positively to it. The gameplay is not there for me. It doesn't fill a hole in my collection. Not enough to make me buy that game.
Is this game just about birds?
It's an engine builder where you collect birds into an aviary. And yes, it's literally like playing a field guide to birds.
Because I look at this and I say, that is really nice art. It is not attention grabbing to me, though.
It's like, if people like science, feel like it's hand drawn, yeah, hand painted. Like, the components are nice. The book is like a win and finish. Again,
it's a bird watcher's
game. It's a bird watcher game that is an engine builder that I feel like I know already.
And I haven't made any decisions in terms of Wingspan yet because I think the art looks very nice. Like, the art,
sure,
is catchy enough that I would want to check it out, but that game is just so hard to get right now. That's
also true.
One of my goals for Origins is trying to play it, and then maybe I'll make a decision at that point.
One other thing we want to talk about was style, and what you guys are talking about makes me think about style. Because I like what Matt said, I like and I think the artwork for Wingspan is good, but it's not my kind of artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because I don't like watercolor artwork and I don't like pastel-y artwork. Like, those are two things that no matter how well they're done, I don't respond to them. Like, I don't stylistically, like, I don't want to see watercolor. I don't want to see pastel. I much prefer, not necessarily it has to be like really rich jewel tones, but something closer to jewel tone.
More saturated.
Than pastel-y. Yeah, it needs to be more heavily saturated.
Yeah, I think you're right, Matt. The style of an art is huge. And the style of an art, to me, can also complement a game entirely. Like, the style of the art can bring me into the game more. I think of, like, One Night Ultimate Werewolf is really chunky, bold lines, like, almost cartoonish. But that's sort of the style of that game. Like, it evokes the theme and sort of the table presence that game has going on. So I think style... I like a lot of different styles of art. And I think if the style of the art matches the game really well, I'm really interested in it. When the style doesn't match, like, I think of maybe Kemet was a game that I owned. The style was like a little bit off. It was just not that appealing. It was really bold and aggressive, which is the style of that game, but the art style doesn't resonate with me for some reason. And on to the Wingspan point, I agree that the watercolors are nice. They're really detailed. I appreciate the care that went into them. Not super my style. Scythe has a distinct style too. Like, Scythe definitely has a distinct art style that isn't really my personal favorite. I appreciate it a lot. I mean, it looks like an oil painting, for Christ's sakes, but it's not something I really deeply love, but I do love it in that game for whatever reason.
Quick tangent. Have you ever followed the drama around the art in that game?
In Scythe?
Yeah.
No.
There's people online that have found basically pictures that look pretty identical to the style, like just photographs.
Gotcha.
And so there's a lot of people that think that the artist went in and just brought the photograph into Photoshop and just painted over actual photographs without giving credit. But then I like got real into this about a year ago. Like, there's like a thread on Reddit about it, just trying to figure out what my opinion of it was. And there's like a lot of people that say, look, like, artists use reference all the time, but then other people are like, you can't just trace. So I don't know. I think it's beautiful. I don't know. I don't know enough about art to weigh in on the ethics of it, but that's out there.
I didn't know that. I still like it.
Yeah, that's all.
I don't know any photographs that have giant mechs in them, so
yeah.
He must have done something to get those mechs in there.
It's worth looking at one day, because like, someone interested. Put like an Imgur album up, and you can see like people actually, I mean, I don't know how people went through and typed like bunch of pigs running and found like the actual picture, but the internet found them.
Thinking about this episode, like, I was trying to think about like what art styles in games do I like. And one common thread I found, which was really weird, I guess the best I can call it is like modern baby cherubs. Like,
okay.
like Renaissance, like baby cherubs, but like modern, because I love the art on like Santorini. I love the art on like of Arcadia Quest.
Okay.
Like, they all have that kind of really big cheek cherub baby look, but moderny. And that apparently is a common thread of art I like in games.
That's before this episode, I was walking around the game room trying to be like, what are the games that really stand out to me? Because I have a hard time visualing these games when we're just talking about it. So I was standing there and I was like, you know, Sushi Go is one of...
Yeah.
I don't super like playing that game, but I love the artwork in it because it's adorable. Same thing with Root, like all the little woodland critters and everything, like they're adorable too. And I like Root because it's these adorable woodland critters that are all fighting a giant war against each other and trying to kill everyone.
For me, my favorite type of art is kind of stylized art. Like, I mean, I grew up reading comic books, so anything that kind of feels like it's showing action, that kind of draws me towards it. And anything kind of just in that comic book style. But then I am not that big of a fan of anime artwork. I don't have anything against anime. I have a tattoo from an anime, but it's just for me, and I know for a lot of people, seeing anime, it's something that's very specific. And for a lot of people, it really turns them off. But then games from Level 99, games from Z-Man game that I have in my collection with that anime theme are like some of my favorite games. Like, I love Tragedy Looper. I really like Millennium Blades. And I don't know. It's weird though, because like anime is comic book art, but there's just something about the style that's like a little bit off-putting, or it's just something that I'm not really drawn towards.
I'm the same way when it comes to anime, and the fact that I really seeing an like something with anime, I'm immediately sort of turned off by it. I was just never into it growing up. I did not catch the Pokemon bug, which I feel like is a lot of people, for especially like in the age range of being, you know, in their 20s to their like early to mid 30s right now, like that was probably one of the first things for a lot of people that would have introduced them into that even style. And then people, you know, went on to find other animes that they really got into. And since I didn't catch that first bug, I did not get into any of it at all. So now at this point, I'm like, I don't really like this artwork. I also don't really understand it. I feel like a lot of it also looks the same to me,
mm-hmm.
which is a real turnoff.
I agree.
What I don't like in a game is when it doesn't seem like there's any consistent art direction.
Yeah.
Like, and so Terraforming Mars is the one that really jumps out at me. That mm-hmm. they're just kind of like, here's some drawings, and then here's some actual like still photos, and here's some animals. Like, so I don't like that because it kind of breaks immersion for me. But even more than that, if a game's art doesn't match or doesn't like really jive with its like graphic design, like if it feels like there was a bunch of different people mm-hmm. that were all working on separate parts without any direction of trying to lead to something cohesive, I don't like that kind of disjointed feeling. It makes the game feel, I don't want to say cheaper, but I can't think of anything else other than cheaper. That's, and I don't want to say lazy, but I can't think of anything else other than lazy. Because I know it's not that, because people work very, very hard on these things. But when the teams aren't kind of working towards the same goal with like the same ideas in mind, it kind of breaks the immersion effect for me.
It's kind of like design by committee instead of design by a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Like you put this person in charge of cards, this person in charge of the board, this person in charge of the box, and you just let them all do their own thing within like a loose parameter instead of someone dictating to all three parts what it has to be. When we talked about Spirit Island, we talked about the fact that the board and the card art and the components kind of all seem to be working in different directions from each other. They're all individually nice, but they don't flow together, or at least they don't flow together in a way that we see them flowing together.
I think you're right about those games. So I'm thinking specifically of Terraforming Mars and Spirit Island now. Those games to me lack polish. They don't look finished. The gameplay in them are great. I love both of those games. I own both those games. But it doesn't have that complete immersion, that sense of polish. It feels like they were almost scrambling to get things together at the last minute, and that just fell off the wayside. Like, no one had that final get-together and said, you know, hey, this just doesn't match this. And what it makes me not want to do is pay a premium for those games. And that's distinct, and that's something I think publishers should know. Like, art does make me pay a little bit more for a game that looks coherent, that has a like strong visual flow, even if it's not something that would normally appeal to me. Having artwork that sort of carries throughout the entire game makes me feel like I'm buying a really well thought out, polished game. And when art isn't there, you know, I feel like I'm going back to check rules, like something just doesn't jive with my experience of playing that game. And for whatever reason, it makes me not want to pay. You know, I'll wait for that to come to a bargain bin sale, like Terraforming Mars I got on Amazon, you know, when it was the deal of the day or something like that, because I didn't want to spend that much money on it.
And see, when I think about the opposite of that, and I know I constantly am just raving about this company way too much, but everything from Mindclash, from their components to their rule books, to the boards, to the art, they all are cohesive and they all feel like they're part of the same universe, part of the same story. And it's not like each of their games are even remotely in the same universe. Like Tricarion to Anachrony to Cerebria, those are all three very mm-hmm. distinct different worlds, and everything that they do with their productions just feels so based in those worlds.
I love the Tricarion artwork. It's literally like front and center on one of my shelves. So if I could frame that board, I would, because I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mindclash in my head, I don't know if personally, like the aesthetics, I love the look of any of their games. But I can look at all of them and say, that's great art. And that's cohesive art. But thinking about it, I don't know if any of them actually speak to me aesthetically. Like, if my personal feelings, if that art was on a wall, would I go, oh, I'll take that poster home with me? As opposed to just saying, that's a really nice poster.
I kind of get that. because I love the others, but that kind of tentacly dark type of art, that's not something that appeals to me, despite the fact that I own every Call of Cthulhu game. That's just not, like, that's not what I want to see, and that's not something that I seek out in any other medium. And with the others, it's definitely the gameplay mechanics and the theme that really draw me in, but the art is really great. Like, the art definitely does what it's trying to do. Now, there are some of those lack of direction problems that we talk about in that game, especially with some of the item cards. They really don't mix with a lot of the other things, and some of just like the board versus the minis. But it's enough cohesion for me. I think actually the others is the very most, that's the least amount of cohesion you can have for me without me feeling it take something away from it.
So we're talking about how components and artwork blur the lines of like what is art. Do you guys consider games, you know, with modular boards? Is that in itself possibly an art? So games where you build the board yourself either throughout the game or at the beginning of the game and you're designing the layout itself, is that part of the art of a game to you?
Like in terms of the table presence, like in terms of how it all looks like, on the table.
You know, if you're just playing a game that has a board, it comes with it, you fold it open, like that's the art. But then possibly if you're playing a modular board game, you almost have a hand in creating that art. Even if you're saying something like Betrayal, you're not controlling exactly what you're doing, but you're building that house.
I'm even thinking of like Unfair when you build the tableau cards that you want to do in your roller coaster park.
You talking about that, the first two games popped in my head immediately. One, and both games that we've talked about recently. One, Zulkin. The board's not modular, but the way the board fits together is part of the art for me, because mm-hmm. it visually stimulates the way that the rest of the board art does. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that came to mind was World of Smog. The circles and the gears, again, not modular, but the fact that the board has moving pieces is part of what makes the board interesting and visually interesting. So I think I would say that, yeah, like anything like that works. I think in the case of Betrayal, I would say no, because I don't think anything is ever added visually by how you lay the tiles. And that's totally it. Like to me, I don't get anything art-wise by the house being laid out in this configuration instead of this configuration. I think because you, like, we would never as a group let each other lay out the house in any kind of visually pleasing way.
But see, when you were talking about laying out the tiles, I started thinking of tile laying games mm-hmm. like Castles of Mad King Ludwig, like Suburbia.
I thought of Patchwork
and yeah.
Quilt Show. Azul. I had another one too. Sagrada.
Yeah, and when I do think, I do think about the art in terms of that, because especially with, way back when we talked about Suburbia and how the art doesn't really pop versus Mad King Ludwig. And I think those games, as you continue to build them out, it does kind of give you a different appreciation of what the artist is going for. And oh, Palace of Mad King Ludwig too. Like when you see all the different colored rooms together and kind of like getting closer to kind of take a look at like what's actually going on in there, it gives a real type of clarity to the art that you don't really get when you're looking at each of the components individually.
Do we want to talk about games we think have really, like, are there styles or the things that we're really instantly drawn to? Like, is there an art style that you'll go, I'm going to buy that because I like the way that it looks? Or like for me, I think if there's a Euro game that has a certain style, I'm instantly more interested in it. I don't know why, but if it's a game about trading things in, you know, Renaissance Europe for some reason, and it fits just a certain niche art style, it piques my interest. And like, that's something that I'm going to want to dive deeper into. I don't know what it is, if it's the antiquated tones on things and stuff that looks like it has like weight or historical significance to me, but that always makes me think I'm like diving into this little niche fiction novel and stuff, and it just has that feeling of coziness that like a good book cover does.
I'm drawn to that baby cherub style jewel tone thing, but I also find myself really into like I think of like the whole realm of Queen games, that there's something almost realistic about it, but not. Like, there's a cartoony realism, and I really like that. I'm not a fan of art that's overly realistic. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want the trees on my board to look like a photo of trees.
Agreed.
Or like a Renaissance painting of trees. I want it to look like a tree, but kind of cartoony. Like, I don't want my art on my board to be hyper-realistic.
100% agree. Mm-hmm. I'm always just looking for that kind of stylized art. I want to just be in this artist version of the world. And I just don't want to be too dark or too much like anime.
It depends for me, because there are some games where if it's more realistic, I'm more into it. Especially with Euro games. In my mind, I almost feel like the heavier the game is, the more serious I want the artwork to be, the more realistic I want it to be. Because I feel like in a Euro game, I'm trying to focus. So having realistic, nice artwork, I'll enjoy it, but it won't distract me. But when I'm playing Sushi Go, I'm like, oh my god, look at the cute little sushi I have.
I love cute art.
Then I lose that game because I'm worried about the cute sushis and not actually playing for the points. I'm like, I got these noris on my board and they're adorable, but they only give me 2 points because I didn't match them correctly.
Cute art does it for me every time.
I think I really agree with your last point, and there's sometimes where with really heavy games, I wish it had lighter art, not light colored, but just not as realistic art, because I feel this like weird mental pressure that if the game is heavy and the art is heavy, I need to behave in a like heavy strategy thinking mindset to fit the board and art. And the first thing that comes to mind, and since Jameson's not here,
Twilight Imperium.
Like, it's a very heavy game and the art's really heavy. So I feel like I need to play really serious and really heavy and constantly focused, because that's the tone of the game and the art. While I think if Twilight Imperium had like a different art, I would maybe feel more like the way I role play, I would feel more comfortable role playing more crazy fun kind of playing if that seemed like the universe it was like that it existed in. But since the art conveys this really heavy, formal, serious universe, that's the way I feel like I have to play the game to get the most out of the game.
I'm just thinking about that a lot.
No, it's really interesting. I never thought of what art affects my playstyle of a game.
It's funny because I don't think I even think a whole lot about art when I'm playing Twilight Imperium, because the board itself, you know, the planets aren't really that exciting. They're all pretty generic looking planets. I'm not a huge astronomy space person either. So, you know, I like science fiction. So the artwork that's on, you know, someone's civilization card is interesting, but I feel like, you know, that's one, they show maybe one or two people of that race and that's it. So you're not getting a whole lot of that either. And what after that, there's leader cards. That's really all the card artwork. You know, I love the ships in that game, especially four. I think the updates that they did on those ships make them even more like pleasing to the eye.
Except that they made the one ship's like very similar to the other ship. Like the flagships look just like, I can't remember what, that is such a tangent. Continue what you're saying.
it's but, a kiki. But yeah, I mean, in my mind in that game, I like the serious, you know, sci-fi fantasy artwork they have, because in my mind, this is a serious game. We're talking about universe domination. I need to control this galaxy. And I need to do it as these people, so I need to figure out what these people would do to control this galaxy.
How do you guys feel about the kind of games that the game is about the artwork? Like Dixit, like Mysterium, where the actual art itself is a mechanic, is like a game component.
I think it's cool, but also don't fully like it, because when we play Mysterium, you know, one of the big hints of like what a card is could be the color palette of that card. Now, thankfully, you're playing as a group on the one side. You know, you're trying to help each other, you know, with what you're being handed, like what card it might match. But I've never played that game as the ghost, and I never will play that game as the ghost, because I can't play the color portion of that game well. People will be like, oh, well, these colors match. And I'm like, oh, they do? Okay, well, I guess I'll take your word for it. So playing as the ghost, everyone would have to already know Matt's not going to hand us a card that's going to have to do with color at all, so only look at the pictures. But I feel like you can be hampered by that in that game, because if I'm the ghost and I hand you a card and the pictures don't really line up and you can't get what I'm thinking of theme-wise, I can't use the colors of the cards to hopefully get you where you need to go.
But see, I think that's just as interesting to play with, because I hate the color thing in that game. I'm a person that never looks at color. I know you are too. Mm-hmm. Like, I know when I play concept. With Aaron, he is never going to go with color, because I think color is really cheap, so I just don't even ignore it. And usually half the people at the table, notoriously Chris, will always like draw people's attention to color, and I'm like, as the ghost sitting there going, nope, nope, it's never color. It's never going to be color. I'm 10 levels deeper, and you are just literally on the surface, and it's driving me insane. Like, think harder. I want you to think harder about this. Like, I want you to remember that story that I told that connects to this thing that we did, you know, when we were on vacation. That is where you are. Why aren't you there right now? So, like, I would love to play with you as the ghost, because I don't even think of color as an option. I will be digging 10 levels deeper into a game.
I think I like going down the middle road of your question. Like, on the one side, you have Dixit. Not a fan, because the art interpretation is purely the whole point of the game. And it's playing apples to apples with art. Yeah. So I'm not a fan of it there. In the middle, you kind of have Mysterium, which I'm okay with the art, like the artwork part of the game, because there's more to the game than just the artwork. And then kind of on the far end for me is Modern Art, where we role play the art on the cards being a part of the game, but it's not an integral part to the game. We just make the look of the card be part of the game because of the bidding. So I would rather be on that side than the Dixit side.
See, I really enjoy it. Like, it's something that hasn't been overdone yet for me, because the only games I really have that do it are Dixit's, Mysterium, and Muse, which I don't even know if I've played with you guys.
I think we've played that once.
And I just kind of like seeing how people interpret the art and how people interpret art in different ways. And I guess that's specifically to Mysterium. But for the other ones, for Dixit and for Muse, it's just kind of fun for me for people to like give their clues and then to see how someone else can match up something so like similar to that clue, like, or how it can someone's clue they think is going to really point them to a card and Muse, and it turns out like, oh, that was not specific at all to any of this stuff.
It is fun. I don't disagree. I think at the end of the day, though, I just remember the art's subjective. So I'm like, okay, you just weren't there with me on that journey that we were on together. That's kind of sad. Games like Modern Art, I do really enjoy that game. And I really like that we sort of all form our own personal narrative about our little museums that we curate. But I agree with you, Aaron. I'd like to see more art integrated as a critical part of the gameplay or a theme in a game. I can't think of too many games that do that. I'm sure there's more out there, but I'd also like one. I think there's a game that I'm trying to think of where you're collaboratively or collectively building some kind of a portrait, or I don't know, you're basically all working together to assemble parts of a whole. And I can't remember what that game is.
Well, there's Fake Artist Goes to New York, where it's kind of like Spyfall, where everyone knows what's being drawn except one person
doesn't.
That's
right. Yes,
that's you can only draw one line each, which I've never played, but it sounds really interesting.
I haven't either.
That sounds awful. It sounds like something I would enjoy playing a few times, but it also sounds awful.
Yeah.
Like, it would be so miserable watching people draw something line by line and being like, this is, nope, not happening.
Well, whenever I think about just fun with art, I think of Telestrations.
Oh, yeah.
Because
of course.
I am a horrible artist, and I have so much fun playing Telestrations.
I love Telestrations.
That is a fun with art game. It's fun to take pictures of the things that we do in Telestration and literally still laugh about them later.
there are still drawings that we did in a game of Telestrations like 4 or 5 years ago. I cannot remember all of the things in the, you know, the span, but I remember a few of them. They're inappropriate to talk about on this show, so I won't actually say them, but I still remember them because none of us are great artists. So that's what the whole point of that game is, I think, is that you can't ever really tell what someone's drawing, but sometimes you miraculously wind up figuring it out, and you're able to win that game.
So for anyone who hasn't played Telestration, doesn't know what it is, go find it, because it's a lot of fun. It's probably my favorite party game. I say that all the time. I always call things my favorite. It's a really good party game, and it's basically a game of telephone with drawing. So you'll get these dry erase boards, they're books, and you kind of flip through, so you'll see what someone wrote down, then you have to draw that, and the next person has to write down what they think your drawing was, and it continues to hilarious effect. So I think we're going to get ready to start closing this out, but I think my last question for the group is, what is your favorite art from a game, or who is your favorite board game artist?
Well, since I've already said numerous times about what my favorite games are, I can just reiterate that, you know, the first game that came to mind for this show was Rising Sun, because I think overall that's probably my favorite board game art in existence. But if I thought about it for longer, it would probably be Ticket to Ride. Not necessarily as a whole, but just some of those maps. And like I said earlier, the wonderful 10th anniversary train cars that are all specially designed for that game.
Do you have a worst that you can think of?
Like the least favorite art? Yeah. God, that's hard, because I feel like there have been a lot of games that I've played that I've gone, I don't really like the art. So I can't really think of anything off the top of my head that stands out as bad art.
I think if I think hardly, like really hard about it, and think about collectively what is art that I just like looking at for the sake of art, I think I might say Sentinels of the Multiverse. Like, I love that comic book art, and I will look at that art, and I own the regular versions of the cards and the foil versions of the cards and the alternate looks of the cards. So I think maybe as a package, that's the art I like looking at the most, though that answer would probably change on any given day. To the worst question, the thing that popped into my head, and I remember having a heated debate about this, I really don't like the visual look of Suburbia. And I remember getting into it on that episode about the art on that game, but I'll just leave it there.
Well, they did come out with a collector's version of it now, so there must have been other people that wanted the art improved on it as well. I like, when you talk about Sentinels of the Multiverse, looking from the very beginning to the very end of the game, because the artist Adam greatly improved over the course of the game. Like, if you look at some of those very first cards versus some of the ones that came out at the very end, it's crazy how much better they got.
But there's still a consistency.
Yes. Yeah. It's just I agree. For me, I think my favorite artist is Ian O'Toole. I know a lot of people will call him their favorite artist, but he does a lot of different work. Right now, I'm waiting to get Escape Plan that he did the art on. And the thing I really like about him is that all of his art is just so different. And it's always just consistently good. Like, he did the work on The Galaris, and he did the work on Lisboa, and he did the work on Escape Plan. And it's just all these things that just are so completely different, but yet he just creates these immersive worlds. And he does that thing where the art is consistent throughout the entire game.
Do you have a worst or something you don't like specifically?
Nothing's jumping out at me.
Really?
I'm really trying to think. And like, I'm going through like all my games in my head, and I don't know. If I think of something when you're done, I'll say it. But
I'm actually just interested. So I think I mentioned earlier in the episode, and I think I'm going to stay with this one. I think Tricarion might be my favorite artwork. Specifically the board. I love the player aids. I love the player workshops and things, but I really love, it's not pointillism, but it's very fine pencil illustrations. It reminds me of Where's Waldo book. And I love that tiny little people artwork. It just brings me back to a really antiquated Victorian childhood that I think is just novel for me. So that's probably going to be my favorite artwork. And Rising Sun and other games are certainly up there too. Scythe. Least favorite artwork. I know Castles of Burgundy gets trashed a lot, but it's not the one that comes on mind for me. I also dislike Suburbia, but I'm going to just go with Tragedy Looper, because I actually really hate the dark anime style artwork, and it's just jarring. The color scheme of that game bothers me. I don't like the colors that the like W and the Vs are, and you know, I just don't find a lot visually appealing about the game, but I really like the game.
I think my easy one would say I don't like the art from Firefly or Legendary Firefly, the deck building game, because it's all illustrations, but that's kind of a cop out. So I really don't like Terraforming Mars. The art is just so wildly without consistency that it really takes away for it takes away from the game for me.
You like the cover?
It's fine.
Okay.
Like I don't dislike any of it individually. It's just when it's all together and just so discordant, and the player aids are just so flat. Like, I really don't like the art in that game. I hate ending on negative.
So don't.
I love
art. We love art. Art's great.
Art is hard, but art is good.
Art is...
Ever since we threw out art, I literally have not been able to stop singing all the different art songs from Sunday in the Park with George. Oh, like, since we started, I'm like it's all that's in my head since we started.
So art is hard, but it's worth doing, everyone. Do it.
So, 75% of us just saw Sunday in the Park with George for the first time, and our big takeaway was art is hard, and the other 25% of us really like that musical, so we're not going to talk about it anymore.
How's our art, by the way? How's Men on Board artwork?
You know what? I actually want to get the
logo. I'm wearing some.
That is actually a really good point, because I do want to get the logo changed. I'm going to get an artist once I pay for some more things around the house first, and then I'm going to commission someone to design something new. Our music was provided by the band Delicious Pastries. If you'd like to email us, you can reach us at menonboardpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at menonboardpodcast. Find us on Twitter at menonboardpod. We have a guild over on Board Game Geek. Our website is menonboardpodcast.com. Men on Board Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network of Podcasts. Find other great podcasts at dicetowernetwork.com. Thank you for listening, and good night.
Night, everyone.
Bye.
Good night.
And with
I know everyone really disliked it, and I get why everyone disliked it, and I probably dislike it for the same reasons. Like, Matt likes Phantom of the Opera, but that's a giant piece of shit.
I liked Phantom.
Well, you're all stupid then.
Phantom I didn't weigh in on that one. Thank you very much.
Phantom is the longest running show on Broadway.
Because
I'm not sure how many showings Sunday in the Park with George had, but I know it's not running anymore. So
listen, this Kiki has definitely gone into a very
different like section. That's like saying NCIS is the longest running TV show, so it must be the best TV
show.
That
does have a point. That's a pretty good point.
I disagree.
You think NCIS is the best TV show ever?
No. But, like, you're trying to say that, like, NCIS as a TV show is the same as, like, Game of Thrones as a TV show. Completely different. And while I understand that these musicals are completely different, they're both on Broadway. And staying power on Broadway is with Phantom of the Opera and not with Sunday in the Park with George.
That's true. Though Phantom is not the longest on Broadway. Isn't the longest touring?
No, I think it's the longest on Broadway.
No,
really?
It's the longest on Broadway. The longest
Lion
show.
Lion King surpassed it.
No.
No.
Because it's still on Broadway.
God, why? Sorry, I love that show. It's great. I've seen it twice. Thanks, Mom.
I think I know exactly what our outtakes are going to be this episode.